Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
This month, our focus is Breakthrough is My Heritage in Christ. And today is a very special service, Breaking Generational Curses service, and it's also a special communion service. Today you will return with miracles. Whatsoever curse, spell, enchantment that has been against your destiny will be totally destroyed in this service. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I welcome you specially in this sanctuary. I also want to welcome all our friends and families online watching us virtually this afternoon. The Lord will reach you wherever you are. Let me hear your believing amen. Our teaching is captioned, Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of Love. Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of Love. What we're saying by that topic is that when you love God, you will experience breakthrough. And now we want to explain what that means. So that's all about the subject, Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of God. And this is supernatural breakthrough that is not limited, can never be stopped. Satan cannot stop this kind of breakthrough. That is the kind of breakthrough you're going to enjoy this month and forever in the name of Jesus Christ. However, it takes love to experience this kind of breakthrough. And what kind of love we're talking about? We want to consider that very briefly this morning. We went over this last week, but we just quickly want to go over it again. When we talk about love in the kingdom, we are talking about loving whatever God loves. Loving whatever God loves. When you love your wife, you will love what your wife loves. When you love your husband, you will love what your husband loves. Now, when you are married, and maybe there's a particular food that you don't like, and your wife likes that food, because of your wife, you, even though you may not enjoy it, but you just want to show that you love her, so you want to eat that kind of food with her. I know some school of thought will disagree with that. No. That one, I love her, but that thing that she eats, me, I'm not going to eat that one. Praise the Lord. But there are some other things that want to sacrifice because love is sacrificial. For instance, if your husband loves some kind of sport, even though you may not understand the sport, when he's watching the game, you want to just sit down and just watch. And the man is shouting. You can't even see why he's shouting. And usually you want to just shout just to say that, oh, well, we are together. Praise the Lord. So when you love God, we love whatever God loves. God loves souls. That's it. That's the primary thing God loves. For somebody to give his best, you should know, that isn't so important. God loves souls. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Just one. He's begotten. If it's someone that he doesn't like, he's even okay. Or if he has many, he's okay. But just one that he loved, he gave just because of love to the whole human race. And this is a priority in the heart of God, the souls of men. Yes, all other things are okay, but the primary agenda of God is for the salvation of the souls of men. So if we love God, one thing we must do, among several other things, one thing that must be there is that we must love the souls of men. Remember, some of us have taken this kind of examinations before. Four questions. Answer three. Number one, compulsory. Anybody has taken that kind of question before? That is common in Africa. I don't know whether they said this kind of thing here. They give you like five questions. Answer three. You are so excited, but they say number one, compulsory. And you look at number one, oh my God. In fact, you first leave it and quickly do the two. First, you now come back to it because that number one that is compulsory is something. So now, if somebody leaves number one and do two, it's three questions. Now, this is another question for the teenagers. I gave them one question in the first service. I want them to follow me very well. The teenagers, the children, listen to this question. The people in the first service already had their prizes. I got 10 responses. and all of them got it rightly, and all the 10 are getting answers. So now listen to this question now. Now, my email address is where you send it to, joseph_jahi@hotmail.com. Now, you 5 questions. Answer 3. Number 1, compulsory. If you answer number 2 and 3, what is the maximum mark that you are likely to get? This one is tougher than the first service. You know, the path of a just is like a shining light that shines more and more until perfect day. Now, I'll go over it again. Now, 5 questions, answer 3. Number 1, compulsory. If you answer question 2, 3, and 4, what is the highest mark you are likely to get? Okay, don't answer it here. Send it to my email, first come, first serve. Praise the Lord. joseph_jahi@hotmail.com. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying this morning is, that number 1 compulsory, that's the love for souls. There are so many other things we can do to get the blessings of God. For instance, as I'm preaching to you now, there's a blessing as a resident pastor to preach to the church, to the congregation. Now, the people that ushered you into the service, that scan your temperature, that registered you, blessings. The people that swept the church, blessing. Somebody or the people who said this communion, blessing. The anointed minister, blessings. The instrumentalist, blessings. The deacons and the deaconesses serving, blessings. The ushering, blessings. Those who are in the covenant room that, you know, I won't mention what they do, but they know themselves. Blessings. Praise the Lord. The statutory board, they work behind the scene. Blessing. But all of these blessings are number 2, 3, and 4 of the questions. Now, the number 1 is salvation. And so when you love God, you must love the souls of men. You must reach out to them with a salvation. Number 2, we must have a God-first lifestyle. You must have if you have to choose between you and God, between you and the things of the kingdom, you have to choose the things of the kingdom first. That's this kind of love that we're talking about. For instance, if you know you are serving on Sunday, and they now ask you, are you going to, a slot is open on Sunday, it's a choice. Will you take that slot to work for extra money? As a lover of God, the first thing that will come to your mind is, I have to be in church on Sunday. Now, if that job is maybe like 4 p.m., 5 p.m., oh, fine, you already serve God. But if it is first service, between the first and the second service, and it's a choice, you know, some jobs are compulsory, some have put themselves under some certain thing that you just have to. But now you have a choice, and now you have to choose. And now you put me, it's virtual. When I'm working, I'll be listening to Pastor. It's not Pastor Ajaya. I mean, you know how to hear him very well. You have already put something else first. A God first priority. First, a God first lifestyle. And that is not one time. That's how you live your life. Then number 3, a kingdom priority lifestyle. Now, for you to live a successful life, you must have a priority list. Every day, I put on paper what I want to accomplish for the day. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, the first 3 are the most important one. So the same way, when you prioritize your endeavors, the number 1 part of it must be God. God first. You live a kingdom priority lifestyle. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Now, last week, we mentioned what love contains that engenders breakthrough. What is in love that engenders breakthrough? We mentioned 4 things last week Wednesday. We said love enhances access to revelation. Because when you can see it, when you know it, when you have the understanding of it, nothing can stop you. And that's what love does. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not come to the heart of man, what God is going to do to them that loves him. and that is those who love him. Now, number two, love empowers our faith to deliver maximally. We did all of this last week. And number three, love facilitates answer to prayers, and love gives us access to wisdom. Now, for this service this morning, we want to take a look at three blessings of love. That is, the things in love that gives us access to supernatural breakthrough. Number one, love empowers our giving. Love empowers our giving. Love empowers our giving to be acceptable and profitable, which provides access to supernatural wealth, as in the case of David and Solomon. Now, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So, Solomon loved the Lord in the realm of his father David. So, we show that David also loved the Lord. But Solomon took it to another level, another dimension. 1,000 sacrifice, just one time. And that was his lifestyle. David also gave testimonies of how he gave his own proper goods to the building of the house of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3 to 9. So we saw the love of God in these two great men. In giving, the love of God propelled them to live a giving life. And as they give, boom, supernatural wealth. Do you know you can't pray into wealth? That's why we don't pray in this church. Oh God, give us money. Oh God, give us send millions of dollars. No. We can only pray to take responsibility. Oh Lord, help us to take responsibility, to obey the terms of the covenant. Because it's a covenant. When you obey the covenant, the blessing will flow. As you know, as the heaven and the as the we can see the rain, as we can see the snow, as we can see the seasons, the winter and the summer, seed time and harvest time, seed time and harvest. We also abide. Praise the Lord. So it's a law. But one thing that makes us to enjoy the privilege of that law is love. You can give without loving. You can give for any reason. You can give to lobby. Do you know some people can give to lobby? Yeah, you can give to lobby. I mean, they do that in African politics a lot. If you want a political position, all you need to do is to go and give the godfather of that political office some money. Then you can get a political position. So it's not because you really love him or you love to. It's just to get that position. So that's lobbying. Now, in this part of the world, you can give to eliminate high taxes. For instance, you have a business and you don't want the government to take all the money as taxes. You can go and give it to charity homes. And so that is better for you. You know, you are giving it to those who need it. It's not really because you love them. It's just because you don't want government to take that money. No, some really give because they love, but I'm just telling you the way people can give without necessarily out of love. And there are so many ways like that too. Now, this is not particularly in this church, but even in churches, people give to get favor of leaders and men of God. There are some places where they want to put people in position. That's when they will remember their pastors. I think, sir, God is leading me to sow this seed. But ordination is coming. No, it's not ordination. It's just that's not here, so that before you begin to misinterpret. The truth is, the kind of person I am, you can never give to lobby me. What you give to me is my entitlement. It's a privilege of God as your father to give. Praise the Lord. So it can't change my opinion about you. I respect everybody. I salute your giving. A lot of people are great givers in this place. But it doesn't change me. If you are wrong, I will tell you point blank you are wrong. And if you have never given in your life, if you are entitled to something, I will give it to you. Praise the Lord. I have some people that I work with every day. They have never even given a penny to say, Pastor, in my 3 years here. But we work, hand in hand. So it doesn't affect my opinion about you. It doesn't change anything. Praise the Lord. So, but what I'm saying this morning is, you can give without loving. But there's no way you love and you can't give. And so when you love God and you give to God, it opens the door of breakthrough. Praise the Lord. Now, number two, love empowers for delightsome and tireless obedience. Love empowers for delightsome and tireless obedience. Now, know one thing about obedience. Obedience is the master key to accessing God and his blessings. Obedience. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And in order for your obedience to be delightsome, you need love. You can obey without delight, but it is delightsome obedience that God is looking for. Now, God is saying, if you be willing and obedient, the willingness in your obedience is what makes it delightsome. You know, remember, you can send your son, go and mop the floor. He pretend that he is not hearing you. I said, go mop the floor. He's mopping the floor, but he's obeying, but he's not willing. Understand? Now, the same way, God is looking for our willingness and obedience. Now, but it is the willingness that makes it delightsome. And it is delightsome obedience that brings the blessing. But when you love, your obedience is always delightsome. When you love, you obey with joy, you obey with excitement. And what that does, it commands the blessing. Love empowers us for delightsome obedience and tireless obedience, resulting in supernatural breakthrough. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. It shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded this day, the Lord your God will set you on and above all nations. If you are above, nothing happening below can affect you. Delightsome obedience. And number three, love makes believers indestructible. I love that. When you love God, you cannot be destroyed. You cannot be destroyed. What we are saying is, when you love God, you don't worry about enemies. That's the reason why we don't emphasize enemies in this church, except when we have, certain specialized teaching that relates to that. Because we believe in God. When you love God, enemies are not to be worried about. They are not to be a problem. Why? Because they cannot do anything to you. Now, when you have a bottle and you put maize inside the bottle and you put it in the poultry, do you think the chicken can do anything to the maize? It will be there. So that's who you are. When you love God, you are like the maize inside the bottle. The chicken may just be using their beak just to peck the bottle, but they can't get to it. So the enemy might want to attack you, but you are indestructible. Indestructible, unmolestable, unharassable. And that'll be somebody's testimony. In the name of Jesus. I love this scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. You see? And God in him, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That will not permit me. I made some expositions in the first service. I would like you to listen to first service. What the devil wants to use against you to defeat you is the spirit of fear. But when once you begin to operate in love, fear will have no place in your life. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So when you begin to operate in the love of God, you have the power to overcome fear. And as long as you are not living in fear, forget about the attack of the enemy. The weapon in the hand of Satan is the spirit of fear. If Satan cannot send the spirit of fear into you, it cannot affect your health. It cannot affect your business. It cannot affect your orientation. It cannot affect your living, your existence on the earth. That's why when somebody calls you and say, oh, I had a dream about you that, you died or something like that. What the devil is trying to tell you is to create fear. Immediately you reject it. God forbid, that's not me. I shall live another. And for your information, don't call me again to tell me you had a dream. Have that dream for yourself. I mean, it doesn't matter. Don't say, oh, because I respect you all. Ooh, he's prophesying negativity into your life. He's just being used as agent of the devil. That's why you have to be very careful who you follow, who you listen to, who you hear. Follow the word of God and follow those who are following the word of God. Praise the Lord. All the devil is trying to do is to look for agents to create fear into your life. But you are indestructible. When you love God, there is no room for fear. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, every spirit of fear is destroyed in Jesus' name. An example of a man in the Bible that really loves God, Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 to 23, the enemies brought out a law just to stop Daniel. But hear this, when you love God, you are unstoppable. That law was fabricated and the king was rogued into it just to stop Daniel from praying. But that didn't stop Daniel. Daniel, as he was always doing, he went before the Lord and prayed. So the enemy came and reported him. And the king could not really do anything because he already signed it to law. So they threw Daniel into the lion's den. And the king tried all his best to make sure they didn't, but they proved to him that you signed this and this has already been into law. They threw Daniel into the lion's den. But the good news is this, Daniel survived. See, the king could not even sleep. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ that for your sake, even those who pose as your enemy will not be able to sleep. The king was like a potential enemy, technically, because he was the one that signed it, even though he didn't want it. But he couldn't sleep. He even fasted overnight for Daniel. He said, your God will deliver you. Early in the morning, he went there. Daniel, did your God whom you serve deliver you? And he was waiting for response. And when he had a response, you know how, what he did? You can tell me. I'm sure the king will jump. Hey! Very excited for hearing the voice. Praise the Lord. That's how all your enemies, because they cannot defeat you, that's how they will get excited for you. They will come back to rejoice with you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big, big hand of praise. So all it takes is the love of God. It's the love of God. Just love God with your heart. There's no need to fake it. Just ensure you love him with your heart by loving what he loves. And you continue to enjoy breakthrough. And in this covenant service, breaking generational curses, whatever arrow the enemy shot into your life will return back to the enemy's camp. Now, very quickly this morning, keys to breaking generational curses. First, let's lay this foundation. Number one, we must understand that we've been redeemed from the curses of the law. When you are born again, you are bought back. God placed the curse when sin came in the Garden of Eden. But the price for the curse to be removed was also delivered by God. That was redemption. So by the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed from the curses of the law. So the price has been paid. For instance, if you mortgage a house, what it means is you got money from the bank. Pastor Motoshoi will correct me if I'm going. That is not my field, so, but I think I've learned a little bit. Now, you got money from the bank, and at a certain percentage, and the bank bought the house and gave you the house to pay them back. So when you begin to pay and pay, you are redeeming your, what's the title? Yeah, the title deed. You are redeeming the title deed. So when you finish the payment, they sign off on the title deed and give it back to you. True or false? Okay. Now, when you have that title deed and they cleared you, the following year, the bank cannot come back to you again to say, this is my house. Can they? No. Because you already have the title deed. You are paid back. Now, it doesn't matter whether you use your money. For instance, if I have that house and Pastor Jude now says, oh, Pastor, I love you so much. What's left on your mortgage? I said, okay, it's a 3.4 million house. I paid 2 million. Pastor Jude said, okay, the 2.4, I'm going to write it off. I said, really? Yeah. He said, where's your bank? And he transferred the money to the bank. With the bank says, oh, no, this is Pastor Jude, it's not Pastor Ajayi. Pastor Ajayi must be the one to pay. No. Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. So you are redeemed. You are redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what the scripture says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hungered on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham. Yeah, that's something just came now. We mentioned about the blessing in the first service. You don't need to be afraid of curse. Just stay under the blessing. Just stay under the blessing. When you stay under the blessing, the curses of the law don't have access into your life. Because when you stay under the blessing, you stay under the redemptive right. Now, number two, curses are often generational in nature. We saw that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 5. Curses are often generational in nature and with a lifespan, 3 to 4 generations. That's why we need to really, really fight against it and take ourselves out of whatsoever our forefathers and parents and lineage has brought upon us by running to Christ and being redeemed. And number three, generational curses do not have power over us any longer once you are redeemed. You already have your title deed. The bank cannot come after you again. The same way, when you have a car in this part of the world, and you go to dealer, as you are sitting right now, you can walk up to dealer with good credit. You can find 0% down payment with no 0% finance with even no down payment and just walk out with a car. But that car, the title they're going to give you, if they are going to give you any title at all, we have the lien holder's name. If it is Bank of America or Nissan dealership, it will have it there. But if you have that kind of car and Pastor Sonny comes to you and say, oh, this your car is beautiful. I say, oh, it's not my car, it's Nissan car. I say, oh, really, what do you mean? Oh, I see I have like $25,000 to pay. So, okay, give me the account of your bank. And he pays it off. The next title that will come to you, we have no lien upon it. That's what they call clean title. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have clean title. Yeah. So generational curses do not have power over you again. Yeah. Numbers chapter 23, verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has God wrought? Now, what are the things to observe? What are the things to observe in experiencing and enjoying this privilege that God has given to us? Number one, whosoever curses anyone blessed of God is cursed by God in return. So you are at advantage. You are not to be afraid of the enemy. Whosoever, after you are redeemed, trying to curse you, is cursed by God, not even you. It's caused by God. Something happened to God's servant Bishop Oyedepo years back. They brought a madman to him. And as he wanted to pray, the spirit said, no, don't pray. They meant it for you. He didn't even know. They wanted him to run mad, and the madness returned back to them. Praise the Lord. So that's how it happened. And this is biblical. And this is not only for pastors, it's also for you. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Just walk in your victory. As long as you are walking right with God. No enchantment against you. No divination against you. No curse against you when you are operating in the blessings. That's a blessing of Abraham. That's what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that cursed thee. So when you are blessed and people are blessing you, they receive blessing. So when you see a blessed man, instead of hating a blessed man, just bless him. Praise God. Just bless him. Pray for him. Be good to him so that you can receive the blessing. Because it is dangerous to curse a blessed man. It is dangerous. He's already blessed. All you need to pray, Lord, show me how to be blessed too. Show me how to love you to the point of being a blessing. If you don't want to bless him, it's dangerous to curse him. So if you are not going to bless him, just keep to yourself. I'm not blessing you, but I'm not cursing you. That is how to play safe. I'm not blessing you, but I am not cursing you. But even at that is a risk because you remain on the same spot. Because it's good to enjoy the blessing. Your blessing him is your blessing. And I'm talking to you too. Anyone that blesses you will be blessed. And anyone that curses you, God himself is going to curse. Praise the Lord. So it's, you are always on the winning side. And that will be your testimony in Jesus' name. Now, number two, kingdom advancement endeavor is one way to activate the blessing of God in our lives. This blessing is there, but we need to activate it. We need to activate it. If somebody gives you a gift card, oh, I think today is pastor says something. We don't observe it here, you know, but they do it appreciation day. Yeah, in some places now, they do all manner of things like that. But let's say it's your birthday and somebody gives you gift card and you put the gift card in your wallet and you refuse to activate it, you might still be hungry having money in your wallet. Now, if you have a bank card, maybe for the first time they send a bank card for you, they ask you to activate. The first time I received my bank card, that was 2006, they asked me to activate. After the activation, I was still in doubt. Because the activation is just call a number. Thank you, your card is. I said, so what is the meaning of this? Just to call a number and it is activated like that. But as simple as it was, just calling the 800 number, if you don't call that number, you are never going to be able to use that card. True or false? Some will ask you for the first time, put it in ATM machine of that bank, and that is the activation. Praise the Lord. So you have the blessing, but if you don't activate it, you don't enjoy the blessing. Praise God. Now, what are we saying this morning? We are saying kingdom advancement endeavor is one way to activate the blessings of God. The blessing is there upon you, but you got to activate it by serving God. Serving God by reaching out to souls. That's what God loves. Serving God by praying on the altar of prayer. Serving God by physically being involved in the church. I said to us last week, when we come and listen to the word like this, it's God that is serving us. But when you have the opportunity to come and lead prayer here, to come and sing here, to play the drum, to usher people in, to count the money, to carry the camera, yes, that's when you are now serving. Or to sweep the floor. Or to guide the people. That's kingdom service. And I already showed you the most important one is reaching out to souls or praying for the salvation of souls. In Job 36:11, if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. And one of my favorite scriptures, Exodus 23:25-26, you will serve the Lord your God who will bless your bread and water. Take away sickness from your midst. You will not cast your young, you will not be barren. The number of your days, I will fulfill so that you will enjoy the blessings. So nothing will cut short your destiny. You will serve I will bless. You will serve, I will bless. You will serve, I will bless. And number three, when God blesses, curses are supernaturally averted. All you need is God's blessings. All you need is God's blessings. And finally, number four, all curses, including generational curses, are reversible. Don't you ever say, oh, this is what has been happening in my family. I've just accepted my faith. F-A-T-E. No! Use your faith. F-A-I-T-H. And not accept your faith. F-A-T-E. Praise God. Because curses are reversible. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus this morning, every curse, every spell, every enchantment over your life shall be reversed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to cross. That was what Jesus did. Every handwriting of death, every handwriting of barrenness, every handwriting of sin, evil syndrome, every handwriting of untimely death is being wiped out this morning. In the name of Jesus. Please jump to your feet in this service this morning. If you're excited, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Lift up your voice and begin to appreciate Jesus. Let's give him praise. Let's exalt his name. Let's magnify him. Thank him this morning. Somebody lift up your voice and let's thank Jesus. Let's thank Jesus. Let's thank Jesus. Let's thank Jesus. Celebrate him. Magnify him. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we give you praise. Blessed and blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Please take your seat. Now, one way to enjoy a curse-free life is redemption. Because when you are redeemed, the price is paid. This morning, the price has been paid by the blood of Jesus, but you have to receive Jesus Christ in order to enjoy the price. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Anyone here this morning, you are not born again. You have not received Jesus as your Savior. You want to run to Jesus. His hand is opened. He wants to receive you. Or perhaps you are listening to me online. You can receive him this morning. Even if you have received him before and you turned back, his hand is also opened. That's what we call backsliding. Anyone that have received Jesus before, then because of sin, you lost that salvation, you turned back, you can return back to him and he will restore your salvation. David said, restore the joy of my salvation. Now, every eye closed, every head bowed. You are here in this service this morning, you want to surrender to Jesus, or you are listening to me via the internet. I'd like to pray with you. Please bow your head and say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood that you shed for me on the cross of Calvary. Today I give my life to you. I return to you. Restore the joy of my salvation. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone who said a prayer this morning. You have seen them. You can see their hearts, the genuineness of their hearts. You said in your word, whoever comes to you will not cast out. Father, come into their life and be their Lord and Savior. Give them a new life. Let them walk in the newness of life. Give them a new beginning. Thank you for this transformation. In Jesus' mighty name. Give Jesus a big, big head of praise.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.